The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the important aspects of mindfulness practice is how mindfulness or meditation highlights aspects of ourselves that we don't normally see or understand. So for example, I mean, the analogy I like to use is that of a still, quiet creek that is just barely flowing. It's very clear, but you don't actually see the water flowing because it's so, you know, almost still, so clear. You look down, you think the water is still. But if you take a little stick and you put it vertically into the water, you can see a little wake being formed at the edge of the stick. And you see, oh, in fact, the creek is actually moving. So in the same way, by sitting still physically and trying to hold the mind in something very simple like the breathing, it becomes a reference point like the stick in the stream for seeing the stream of our own mind, the stream of our inner life. And we tend to see more movement than we sometimes realize is there. Sometimes there's a lot. I think of if someone has a lot of energy, very energetic, maybe even agitated. If they're very busy and active, they don't see how agitated they are. But if they're asked to sit still in a chair, then they see how agitated they are. So by sitting still and keeping the mind somewhat still or stabilized on the breath or some object of meditation, it tends to highlight what is going on within in a way that sometimes is hard to see if you don't do that. And then the very important aspect of meditation practice then is how you relate to what is highlighted. And you certainly don't want to relate to it as if it's wrong or bad or something that you're supposed to kind of discard or try to stop from happening. I think it's much more useful to relate to it with interest, maybe curiosity. What is this? Don't give in to it, but look at it and learn to hold it maybe with more equanimity, more balance, more wisdom, and look for that. Look for equanimity, balance, and wisdom as a way of relating to what gets stirred up, what's revealed itself when you sit here. And if you do that, then slowly over time you might learn that you can sit, the mind becomes stiller. And as the mind becomes stiller, then it highlights different kinds of movements within, different ways in which that mind is kept active and activated. And the stiller the mind gets, the more subtle that activated aspects are seen, until your mind becomes like a very, not just a very quiet, still, you know, clear stream, but becomes maybe a quiet, still pond where there's no movement at all. It's very quiet, very still, very transparent and clear. So I hope you have a wonderful morning. One of the useful ideas that exist in our tradition is the idea of roots, and that what is obvious sometimes in the surface of our life, surface of our mind, activities that we do, might not reveal to us the underlying roots or the underlying motivation or the underlying structures that are keeping things kind of going the way they are. And then one of the reasons to sit and meditate or sit quiet and still is to get still enough so that the surface concerns, the way we caught up in the surface issues, don't hide what's kind of under the surface or what's deeper. So there's a lot of things that reasonable things, important things for people to address in their lives and be concerned about, to focus on and pay attention to. Sometimes in taking care of a lot of the surface things, that we don't really get to some of the deeper things that go on. And so the deeper structures or the deeper concerns or motivations or roots are still operating. And so they still create further surface issues over and over again. So for example, I might have an issue with my neighbor. that makes me angry. And so I could kind of look at that anger, understand what happened there. I could understand perhaps that I felt I was disrespected by the neighbor. And so from that disrespect, I felt hurt, and that hurt, I felt angry. And so I can do a lot of mindfulness practice where I can sit quiet, I can look at the anger, I can learn to hold the anger well, I can hold the anger well enough and equanimously enough that I don't get reactive with the anger. I could understand some of the various conditions that went into the anger. I could understand what happened in the conversations I had with the anger with a neighbor. I can understand maybe something about the history of my relationship with anger and other neighbors I've had. And there's a lot of things I can understand. And perhaps by understanding all this, maybe the anger dissipates and no longer a problem with that neighbor on my right. But then next week it's a neighbor on the left, or the neighbor in the front, or neighbor in the behind that I get angry with, or get up and have to do the whole thing over with them. Or maybe it's not anger, maybe it's some other strong emotions that arises, or motivation in relationship to them. And how we focus on these things has a lot to do, what we focus on with our challenges in our life have something to do also with what we've been taught that are useful to pay attention to. So in a psychological culture, people who are influenced by that, sometimes they look at the psychology, the inner psychology aspect of it, or the history, the very variety of ways. Someone who's maybe involved in issues of social justice maybe looks at the legal aspects or something else. But what might be hidden from view is that underneath, kind of at the root of the anger I've had with my neighbor, might have been that I hold myself, I see myself as a person as a particular kind of person. I have a view of self, an image of myself or a way of representing myself to myself or to others that is very important for me. And so that image I have of someone who is a certain way, I carry with me in all these different situations. And I might take care of individual situations, like I might take care of the issue with the anger with the neighbor, but I haven't really looked at the root for where that anger came from. And it came not just from being hurt, but it came perhaps from that which could be hurt. And that which could be hurt perhaps was a self-image, an idea. I have to be this kind of person. I have to be related to this kind of way. And so if I don't turn around and look at the root, the core of it, then that core, that root, is still going to be operating as I go about in a different situation. It's like the common denominator. You have to look at the common denominator, otherwise it's going to keep triggering things. So sometimes people will spend too much time looking at the surface, the leaves, the branches of a plant, and don't really get down to the roots. And the image of the roots in Buddhism is given because some plants you can even cut down to the level of the ground and the roots keep sprouting up. And but you have to, in order to really do away with the plant, you have to pull the plant up from the roots. And so this tradition of ours talks about these roots. And the most common roots they give for suffering is greed, hate, and delusion, which sometimes is useful to consider and sometimes it's just such generalization that people don't even see themselves in those words. You know, greed, yeah, I guess so, but... But a whole other kind of area that's useful to look at to get down to the core is this issue of self, self-image, self-representation, the attachment to self, concern with self. And that can be very, very deeply rooted. And it's not necessarily related to what we were socially taught, even. A lot of self-understanding has to do with, you know, it's conventional, that's taught, reinforced by society and experiences and stuff. But sometimes it can be even deeper than that. And so to sit still enough or to be mindful enough to see the roots is a big important part of what this practice is about. And one of the ways not to see the roots is to be too caught up with the surface issues. Now it's important to take care of, you know, to use the word surface and roots is too easy to kind of be dismissive of one or the other. And we don't want to do that. But I think there's plenty of people who are so focused on the surface things, they don't really see or don't take the time to see what's deeper and underlying it. And sometimes the kind of personal psychological issues get a lot of emphasis by some people, as if that's where the problem is and they have to kind of deal with the psychology. And what's interesting, again, also about this tradition, is that it points to the idea that anything that has to do with, that's unique to you, your own particular biographical story, is not really at the root. So if you're kind of focusing on what's unique to you, what happened to me when I was younger, and what I learned, and my, you know, perhaps you can't really get to the root. It has to be something which is a little more, not, you know, more universal or more deeper than what, more deeper aspect of our humanity than what the details of our particular life. So as we do something like meditation, which in a very kind of light-hearted way, maybe, or kind of loose way, we say, is to learn to sit still. We sit still a little bit, and then we see how we're agitated, or how there's activity going on in the mind, in the heart, in our body. And so then we have to learn how to meet that activity and hold it in a way that's useful, and see it clearly. And so part of that holding it in a useful way is not to be reactive to it, not be for it, not be against it, but rather to see it and learn how to hold it with some kind of equanimity, clarity. And then that helps support the mind getting quieter. And as the mind gets quieter, we begin having access to these deeper areas, the deeper roots, what's going on in a deeper, deeper way. And sometimes when we get to the deeper roots, sometimes there can be very strong urges not to look there, not to go there, but rather to turn back and look at the things that are more of the surface. And one of the reasons for that is that people can often get the message that really what's important is the issues that are on the surface. And so they kind of focus on that as being, that's what they're supposed to be looking at, they're supposed to be focusing on. I remember many years ago, I was teaching a retreat in Canada, and the woman who was raised in India came for an interview, and she said to me, I've been listening to people ask questions during the retreat, and I don't understand why people are so concerned with issues around their mother and, you know, work and these kinds of things. What she said was, you know, aren't we doing this practice to get off the wheel of life and death? Isn't that, you know, growing up in India, that's kind of a big idea. But I kind of heard this. She had this idea that she saw that, you know, this idea of, you know, your relationship to your mother, as important as it is, not, I don't dismiss it, there's something much more important that can be done. And for her language, it was coming off the wheel of life and death. Someone else, it might be something else. What I like about Vipassana practice is that it's a practice that is not really meant to go digging, searching into the roots, but rather something we learn to look directly at what's happening without concern whether it's a surface or roots, deep or shallow, and just to see it directly for what it is, but without, and then learning how we relate to it, so we don't give it too much emphasis or too little emphasis, just to hold it and be with it, what's there, and then we start seeing through the cracks of it. We might see what's behind it, what's deeper, but it's very important not to be blinded by the surface, so we can't see the cracks. Let's see what else is going on there. And we don't go searching for something deeper. We don't go digging, but we also don't limit ourselves with just what's on the surface. So one of the ways not to do that is simply to have the question, what else? What else is going on here? What else is going on in this moment? Here I'm concerned about my neighbor, and I'm angry with my neighbor, but what else is really going on here? If I get quieter and stiller, what else is going on here? And then we might feel a certain clinging. There's a deeper clinging. Maybe you identify that as a clinging to self. And what happens to the anger if you let go of the underlying clinging to self? So the Pali word for roots is mula, M-U-L-A. So now you know that part of our tradition. May it help you become happily rootless. Ruthlessly rootless. So thank you.